10%. 10%. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the percentage the Colts have at making the playoffs. 10%. It was at about 40% last week, but they dropped the game to Tennessee, and it dropped all the way to 10%. Well, let's talk about it. First and foremost, guys, welcome back to the Underdog Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Terrazas. And, man, feels like it's been a long week. You know, this is somewhat of a game that I'm just not looking forward to, if I'm being honest with you guys. I'm just not looking forward to this game. You know, this game has worried me for a little bit. The Buccaneers just seem to be more healthy. They got their guys. They're at home. Their offense is always explosive, but their defense gives up a lot, and Jameis Winston turns the football over a lot. So, I'm really torn on what I want out of this game. Do I want to win or do I want to lose? If we lose, we're in that we're getting higher in the draft order. Okay, right now I believe we're slotted at 17. We could potentially go up to 14, as high as 14 maybe. Depending on if Philadelphia wins, Tampa Bay beats us, and so forth and so on, guys. You know, I'm content as of right now, guys, just tanking the season, getting as high as we can in the draft. Because, I mean, right now, 10%, you got to win out, beat Tampa Bay, win at New Orleans, beat Carolina, beat Jacksonville. Do those games look winnable? Yes, they do. But going into New Orleans is probably going to be the hardest game of the season. And even though I just said, do these games look winnable? Hell, the Miami Dolphins game looked winnable. The Pittsburgh Steelers game looked winnable. Oakland Raiders looked winnable. Tennessee Titans looked winnable. Games looking winnable don't do a whole lot for us right now. Injuries have played a role in that. But man, just bad football being played on the field is something that's also held this team back. Getting into injuries here, you know, it's looking good for Paris Campbell. He's been a full go so far this week. That hand seems to be getting better. And I'm expecting him to play. I'm expecting him to play. Now, when we're looking at the rest of the injury report, Kenny Moore's ankle has bothered him. He has not participated 2 days. He hasn't participated at all this week. Malik Hooker, he was limited on Wednesday and did not participate on Thursday. Adam Vinatieri, the left knee, did not participate and was limited on Wednesday. So, looking like we're gonna be down some guys. Marlon Mack, it's looking promising. He was limited on Wednesday and was a full go on Thursday. So will he be good to go on Sunday? Well, it would probably help my fantasy team, but it's looking like he might be able to go. Nothing too for sure, but that's the injury report so far. Now we got to get into this kicker situation. Colts claimed kicker Chase McLaughlin from the 49ers. They actually were higher than Buffalo in New England, which was a little surprising to me, but given our situation, all of our situations, I'm surprised that we were ahead of them. You know, Steven Hauschka is not, you know, cutting it for Buffalo, and New England's just having kicker problems. We were ahead of them because we were a priority, and we claimed them. This injury for Adam Vinatieri in the left plant leg, which was bothering him in preseason, pretty sure it's been, in my opinion, it's been bothering him all season, but for some reason, they want to start putting it on the injury report now that the season has gone to hell. I just think it's a weak move in my mind. You know, what are the coincidences that this whole entire year we are in the playoff hunt? We're looking good, not so looking good, but we're managing to win games. And then the biggest disappointment of the year happens. And then he winds up on the injury report. Really? And Frank Reich did say that the injury actually flared up during pregame warmups against the Tennessee Titans. And my whole question is that his injury flared up and you still sent him out there to kick a 55-53-yard field goal. I don't understand that. I don't. I really, really don't. What? Can no one else kick? Like, are we not preparing for the worst? Is Rigoberto Sanchez not actually practicing kicks? He kicked in college. Are we not preparing ourselves or what? Because I remember when we had Pat McAfee, we were testing him. I don't get what the Colts are doing with Adam Vinatieri, man. They are flopping this season so bad. So bad. It's looking unlikely that Adam Vinatieri will kick again for the Colts this year. Hey, we got a new kicker, Chase McLaughlin. Welcome to the Colts, bud. I hope you can make all your kicks in all the games. And maybe, you know, when it comes to this kicker situation, is Chase, you know, our future starting kicker? Well, I'm not ready to say he is, but he showed some promise with the 49ers. And that was his first game, that was such a big stage. But he's been under the lights before now, and he's kicking. Hopefully, he's got his confidence back up. So, you know, if he does have a good remainder four games, which if he does kick these next four games, I'm still open to finding another kicker and then have them battle it out in training camp. I don't want to limit our options to one guy. Hell, maybe bring in two guys. You know, because the kicker situation, it's just been so important, and it's cost us games this year. So we got to make sure that unit is taken care of. You know, it's really a weird and odd timing to put Adam Vinatieri on the injury report. It's just odd to me, but man, that was a disappointment Sunday, and just been disappointing all year. Just been disappointing all year. If we have seen the last of Adam Vinatieri in the NFL, man, it was definitely an enjoyable ride. You know, I still remember to this day where we didn't have to worry about a kick. You know, we didn't. I remember Andrew Luck's rookie year, the game-winning field goal against Minnesota. Man, you know, Adam Vinatieri's just been clutch his entire career, and I really hate that his season had to end, if it's going to end, if it is over, that his season, possibly his career, had to end the way it did. He did struggle a little bit last year too. You know, struggled in Kansas City, struggled against Miami, missed a few kicks, and this has been building up. But man, I do certainly pray and hope for the best for Adam Vinatieri. Maybe he can become a kicking coach, special teams coach, you know. But I just think that his time is up, man. I just do. His story is great. His story is amazing. But no one outlasts Father Time. And I believe it's caught up to him. It's catching up to Tom Brady as well. Catching up to Ben Roethlisberger. Catching up to Philip Rivers. So, I definitely hope for the best for Adam Vinatieri. Moving on, guys. There's still some questions about Adam Vinatieri. Or not Adam Vinatieri, Jacoby Brissett. I don't know what to say at this point, guys. You know, when it comes to the quarterback situation, is it possible? You know, let's brainstorm here. Is it possible that Chris Ballard has the mindset of this year just wasn't our year? Let's rebuild this roster, fill in a couple spots. Because the Colts are not where they were in 2007, where they just needed to rebuild the whole roster. This team is 4 or 5 guys away. 4 or 5 guys away. I believe that's at the pass rush. I believe that's a lockdown guy in the secondary, an offensive lineman, a quarterback maybe, and possibly a kicker. I believe we're right there. Now, is it possible that all the positions get retooled and Chris Ballard says, well, you know what, let's just, you know, roll with Jacoby Brissett. You know, I liked what he did. I liked his play. And let's just roll with him. Let's say he drafts a quarterback late in the rounds. There is a possible chance as of right now, guys, that Jacoby Brissett will be the starter week one next season. Because depending on which quarterback we get, I'm not so sure that they're going to be ready or will beat out Jacoby Brissett in training camp. I don't know about that yet. If it's, let's do hypotheticals, because in the draft process, man, you never know what's going to happen. So let's say a crazy scenario happens. Joe Burrow's off the board. Tua Tagovailoa's off the board. Let's say Joe Burrow goes to Cincinnati. Miami takes Justin Herbert. Then let's say Tampa Bay takes Tua Tagovailoa. Let's say Carolina takes Jordan Love. That leaves the Colts with options of Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Jalen Hurts, Nate Stanley. Is Chris Ballard willing to spend a first-round draft pick, possibly picks 14, 15, on those guys? And it's, you know, and I'll echo what he said. It's one thing for us to think if they're a first-round pick. But Chris Ballard and his staff have their own guys graded a certain way. You let's say Mike, not Ma Mike Mayock. Let's say, man, what's his Todd McShay? Let's say he has Jacob Eason graded as a late second round pick. Chris Ballard could have him graded as a middle of the round first round pick. You know? Ben Banigou was graded as a third round pick. Chris Ballard had him graded as a second round pick. You know, Chris Ballard did mention that. You know, it's about where their guys are on their board. I honestly don't think you go quarterback. I think you go, I wouldn't say best player available, but I'd like to think that guys like Henry Ruggs, T. Higgins, Javon Kinlaw, those guys are still on the board. Maybe AJ Epenesa. Because, man, his draft is just all over the place. Is he top five? Is he top 10? Sometimes he drops down to 19. I don't know where his position is going to be. Considering the fact that he's a pass rusher and he's a very stout run defender, I have to believe that he's going to be gone in the top 10. I have to. But if the Colts get in a situation where those four quarterbacks are off the board, Burrow, Tagovailoa, Herbert, and Love, Chris Ballard has got to take Javon Kinlaw. If AJ Epenesa is there, take AJ Epenesa. But you got to add some great pass rushing to the defensive line. You got to. I believe you're okay right now. Justin Houston getting a little older, but Kamoko Touré, hopefully he'll come back to his same old self, have that same burst. Ben Banigou, I hope he can make a big jump in his second year. And now up the middle, Grover Stewart. He's not going to pass rush nobody, but he will sometimes take double teams. He will help in the run game. Denico Autry, getting older. Javon Kinlaw and Denico Autry. That would be a great tandem up the middle. You got to take Javon Kinlaw. So say you take Javon Kinlaw in teams like, let's say Minnesota doesn't re-sign Kirk Cousins, although right now it's looking like they will. Let's say for some reason they decide not to re-sign Kirk Cousins. Do they draft Jacob Eason? Or let's say New Orleans. Drew Brees retires, Teddy Bridgewater signs somewhere else, and they're in search of a quarterback. They take Jacob Eason. Then New England. Maybe Tom Brady leaves or retires after this season, and they draft Jake Fromm. What are the Colts left with? What are the Colts left with in this draft at the quarterback position? I'm not taking Jalen Hurts. Forget that. I'm not taking Jalen Hurts. He is going to be a big time project. If we do happen to take him, he's a great guy. I have no doubt in my mind that he's a Chris Ballard guy. But I just don't like his tendencies as a quarterback. I thought he did too much running, way too much running at Alabama. And he's starting to do that at Oklahoma. Early on, when you face those low teams, it's easy to sit back in the pocket and throw lasers. But in big games against better teams, he's showing what he was at Alabama. Somewhat inaccurate and pulling the football down and running it. I don't want to take him. But there is a guy that I truly just love, guys. I love the skill set that this quarterback has. I think that he has been done wrong by his coach in college. I think he probably went to the worst place possible when he transferred. And that's Shea Patterson. He was a five-star quarterback coming out of high school. I saw him in the Under Armour or the Army All-American game at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. I saw him. Then I saw him at Ole Miss. He has some good tools. he has some great mechanics. He does. He has that arm as a laser. I saw it in the Michigan and Ohio State game. Even though his receivers couldn't hang on to a ball to save their life, he didn't get no help from his receivers. But he still made some great throws. Now, I'm not saying draft him second round or third round. He's going to be on the board probably in the seventh round. Take him then. Take him where he will be available. Because at those higher drafts, man, this is a deep draft. I want those high draft picks, which is why I want to lose. I want those high draft picks so we can, you know, get the best players available. The best players to our arsenal. Adam. That's my thinking. Okay? But something tells me when the Colts draft, Jordan Love and Jacob Eason will be on the board. Justin Herbert will be gone. Tua Tagovailoa will be gone. And if I had to choose between Jordan Love and Jacob Eason, man, I'm taking Jacob Eason. Jordan Love, man, I get, you know, some people are excited about him. But, man, what, I'm not giving the guy 2 years to round into shape. I'm not, no, I'm drafting you in the first round to be a franchise quarterback. He turns the football over way too much. And sometimes he throws rockets. Bullets. You know, I understand that there's love around Jordan Love, no pun intended, but when I see a franchise quarterback, when I'm watching Jacob Eason, Jake Fromm, Jordan Love, I just see something there with Jacob Eason. I just see it there. With Jordan Love, man, I'll keep saying it. He just reminds me of Jameis Winston. Remember how he was hyped coming out of college? Oh, he's number one pick. He's going to be the best quarterback in this draft. He's going to change life in Tampa Bay. Man, what the heck has he done? Come on, man. I've been watching football long enough. I hope long enough to identify talent. Jordan Love has talent, which is why he'll probably be drafted in the first round, obviously. But I just don't see him as that guy that's going to take Indianapolis over the top. I like Jacob Eason. Jake Fromm, he makes good decisions. He does have a good arm. It's just becoming unrealistic that Justin Herbert is going to be available when the Colts pick him. It's just becoming highly unlikely. I just see Justin Herbert in Miami. I don't see Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. I see Tua Tagovailoa probably in Tampa Bay. Possibly Oakland? Who knows? Now, if Tua Tagovailoa happens to fall to the Colts, I do think that there is some intrigue, but that guy's just suffered two injuries this season. I think an injury last year, and his durability is starting to become a concern for me, so I'll pass on that. And I think that's going to do it for draft talk, guys. Yeah, the biggest thing was just on quarterback. You know, as the season goes on, as we get deeper into the off season, when the season ends, whenever time it will end, I'll continue to talk about different positions. So that's your draft preview. Moving on, guys. This is going to be a pretty short podcast. Not a whole lot of news going on, but let's jump into this game. Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Colts got to win. Keep their playoff hopes alive. See if we can get that percentage higher and higher. But our opponent this week, Jameis Winston passing for 3,659 yards. He has 22 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. He has been sacked 40 times. That's a lot. That is a lot. Their leading rusher, Rashad Jones II, has 482 yards. Obviously, they don't run the football all that much. Their offensive line is very weak. So that's probably why they're not really, you know, just running it. So their leading receivers, it's really two guys, and y'all know who they are. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans. Chris Godwin has 74 receptions, 1,121 yards, 9 touchdowns. Mike Evans, although he has had somewhat of a quiet year, 1,996 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's the high quality tandem. And then after them, there's a drop off. You go from a 1,000 yard receiver to their tight end, OJ Howard, who has 294 receiving yards. And Perriman, the wide receiver, 226 yards. This team's not looking really all that great. Not all that great. On the defense, obviously you're going to want to look for Shaquille Barrett, the 14 and a half sacks on the year. So it's we're going, they have some talent, man. Tampa Bay has talent. Obviously, we're going up against Bruce Arians. We know what he represents. We know what kind of coach he is. So, getting into the matchup here, Tampa Bay's favored by 3 points. The over-under is 47, so I'm kind of surprised it's not a little higher. Because, man, I thought like they would see this as a shootout. But getting into points per game, Indianapolis is scoring 21, Tampa Bay scoring 28, a whole touchdown difference. Points allowed per game, basically the same thing. Colts allowing 21, Tampa Bay allowing 28. Total yards, Colts 357, Tampa Bay 401. Yards passing, 218. I swear this number just keeps getting lower and lower for the Colts. 218 yards. Tampa Bay, 305 yards. Now, rushing, this is a big gap. 139 yards for Indianapolis, 96 for Tampa Bay. So it just shows they don't run the football all that much. They're a pass-first team. Yards allowed, we're allowing 345. Tampa Bay is allowing 379. So Colts got the edge in that department. Passing yards allowed, well, 243 yards for the Colts, 303 yards for the Bucks. Rush yards allowed, Colts allowing 101, and Tampa Bay allowing a low 76. Now, I will say, their run defense is respectable, but when you face Tampa Bay, you're always looking to pass because Tampa Bay can score points because you're always looking to pass. So when I'm looking at this matchup, no Kenny Moore probably, Pierre Desir, Rocky Sin, Marvell Tell, Quincy Wilson will probably be activated. So I'm looking at it as Pierre Desir will probably be on Mike Evans because that's the bigger wide receiver. Rocky Sin will cover Chris Godwin. If you're going to lock those two guys down, Matt Eberflus has got to throw coverage at both of those guys. Make O.J. Howard beat you. Make Perriman beat you. You have got to throw coverage at those two guys. Because if you're watching Tampa Bay's film, I don't see how you're preparing for anyone else. Double team those two guys. Kari Willis, Chris, and Malik Hooker, George Odom, double team both of those receivers all the time. Don't go zone. So, stopping the run, getting after Jameis Winston. If the Colts want to win this game, they're going to have to control the pace of this football game. Tampa Bay likes to go quick and fast. They like to go down and score points. Colts are probably going to have some extra possessions in this game as well. So, I don't rule that out at all. Now, when I am looking at the Colts, man, what you got? Shaquille Barrett, you got Devin White, that great rookie, Vita Vea, you got some good guys. Is this offensive line going to be able to get a push against this Tampa Bay front? Vita Vea is a great guy, great player. Devin White, know what he represents. Shaquille Barrett. Is Marlon Mack going to be able to run the football? When it comes to passing, you'll probably have Paris Campbell back. That'll add some speed to the field. But what is Paris Campbell going to give you? What are other guys going to give you? Guys, it's just, you know, I want to go with the Colts, man. But when I'm looking at this matchup, I just don't believe in the Colts. I just don't. You know, they've had some favorable matchups this year, and they just give me no reason to believe in them when they have a favorable matchup. But if they are going to win this game, we got to jump into keys of the game. All right. Number one, throw coverage at the all-star tandem of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. That's a key. Throw coverage both of their ways. I'm talking about throw both of your safeties at those guys. Okay? Because if you're double-teaming both of those guys, I don't know who else is going to beat you downfield on this Tampa Bay team. All right? Get to Jameis Winston. If the Colts want to win, they got to get about 5-6 sacks in this game. They got to get to Jameis Winston. Get for a strip sack or something. But they got to go. They have got to go. Defensive line, man, hoping for a lot. Now, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do get in the red zone, you do not allow touchdowns. Keep them out of the end zone, okay? Quiet that crowd, all right? The crowd gets hyped over touchdowns. They'll just be clapping for field goals, okay? Quiet that stadium, quiet that crowd. Going to the offensive side of the ball, you got to win first down, okay? You got to win first down. No negative 1 yard run or a 1 yard run. You have got, I am open to passing on first down. I am open to that. All right. I'm really open to that. Now, basically, just being able to run the football is a key to the game. But here's another one. Frank Reich. Don't be predictable, okay? Because these last two games against Houston, against Tennessee, you knew what the Colts were going to do. You knew what was coming. You knew what was going to happen. You're not fooling anyone. You're not fooling anyone, especially when you have the injuries that you do. You got to be able to mix it up. And in this game, Frank Reich has got to mix it up. All right? Now, here's a doozy right here. Wide receivers produce. Our wide receivers have got to produce. Zach Pascal had a good game last week. Let's see if he can get another one. Paris Campbell will probably be back. All right. What will he offer? What will he give the Colts? All right. These guys, I'm looking at both of these guys. They have got to go. Because I'm pretty sure Zach Pascal, he's excited that Paris Campbell will probably be back. Like, man, I got some help now. Because it's been Zach Pascal all year. It's been nothing but Zach Pascal. He's our leading receiver with 400 freaking receiving yards. Our leading receiver has 400 yards, guys. Not 700, not 800, not this deep into the season. 400. Jacoby Brissett, you got to air it out, man. You got to make quick decisions. You have to. All right? When the season is going the way it's going, you have got to be able to put it on the line and go down, get points. Sling it. Because I've just lost faith in Jacoby. Colts got to do something if they want to salvage their season. If they want to try and get back in that playoff race. They have got to win games. All right? And that leads me into my prediction. All right? I'm gonna go with Tampa Bay. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay in this game. I saw what they did to Jacksonville. I saw what the Colts did to Jacksonville. At this point, guys, I just think the Colts are just going to drop games. I don't think they're going to be able to run the football the way they want to. And when they can't run the football, they're going to have to throw the football. And we all know Jacoby Brissett is kind of limited in that department. Because when you start facing Tampa Bay, you're probably going to get into a track meet. Probably going to give up some points. Defense has a big game, has a big responsibility on their shoulders. But I just don't see the offense doing enough. I just don't see it. I don't. The offensive line, so-called best offensive line in the NFL, they can't get a dang push to save their life. Wide receivers, just injuries. A couple of guys dropping them. Jacoby Brissett's limited. Let's see what the kicking game has to offer. You know, if the kicking game can keep us in the game and maybe in the fourth quarter, we'll have a shot. I think if this game can get to the fourth quarter, the Colts will have a shot. All right? But in this game, guys, I just look at Tampa Bay. I don't see better talent, but I just see a team with fewer injuries. I just see a team trying to win, and I just don't see the Colts winning this game. And I'm not trying to sound like a Debbie Downer, guys. I'm not trying to sound like I've given up on the season. Remember, I've had doubts about this game even last month. You know, when coming out of the bye week, I had some nerves about this game. And I'm going with Tampa Bay. I think they win 28-13. I think they will beat the Colts 28-13. And the Colts will fall to 6-7. So before I hop off here, guys, we have some Twitter questions. Let me get into them real quick. All right. See here. Okay. Now, this one is from Don Murphy. Thank you for chiming in. I know we've been dealing with injuries, but I feel like Jacoby is taking some major steps backwards. He's not making the best decisions like he was earlier in the year, and I really do like him, but I think he's just not seeing things like he was. Well, welcome to the club, Don. Jacoby Brissett has regressed so much this season. You would think a quarterback's play or anyone's play is probably rusty at the beginning of the year, and then they get better as they go on. No, that hasn't been Jacoby Brissett. He started off well. You know, there were some great passes that he made. You know, I still remember that great pass he made to Eric Ebron in the game against LA that didn't count, but there was nowhere else to go with the football, or else it would have been picked. He put it where only Eric Ebron could get it. And he's regressed since then. You know, Don, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. He has taken some steps backwards, and that's why everybody is jumping on draft a quarterback wagon. All right, now, this is from Lucas Headley. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Lucas Headley. Who are the weak links on this team? How do we replace them? Well, Well, first off, thank you for chiming in, Lucas. Weak links. Let's start from the top. Jacoby Brissett, you addressed that in the draft. Which round? You just never know. It's a little too early to predict that right now. Season's not over. It's just too early to predict that. And then you look at Mark Glowinski on the offensive line. You know, if he's just standing straight up, like my buddy Zach mentioned on the podcast, on my latest podcast, he's good. But when it's, you know, he has to move left to right, he gets beat. He's just limited as a right guard. He's a good right guard, but he is just very limited, and he's a weak link on that offensive line, which is why I think I would be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we drafted a guard in the draft or signed a guard. You know, I just wouldn't be surprised whatsoever. Obviously, Adam Vinatieri is a weak link. How do we address that? Well, we actually already did address it, making a waiver claim with McLaughlin. But I do think you still got to sign two more guys. I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be after the draft when those undrafted free agents get calls. And then I really think that's it. If you want to look at some wild cards, maybe Marcus Hunt, just not doing a whole lot this year. I wouldn't call Jabal Sheard a weak link. He's a pass rusher. He doesn't really pass rush, but he offers some good things in the run game. But you just can't start a pass rusher. You can't start a defensive end in the pass rushing spot if he's not going to pass rush. That's just my thinking. I hope that makes sense. That's just my thinking. And other than that, this is why I'm saying that the Colts are a few guys away from just getting it. All right? Right guard, quarterback, defensive tackle, Marcus Hunt, kicker. I would say that. And to piggyback a little bit, probably to add something to your question, Lucas, I would say the Colts need a lockdown corner. I would say that. Moving on here, Jay Ennis. Do the Colts think about drafting a quarterback in one of the middle rounds? It just depends, you know, right now, Jay, where they have their guys. You know, in the middle rounds, when you're talking third, fourth, fifth, I see those rounds as opportunities to get some, maybe a pass catcher, maybe a defensive lineman, maybe a corner, or maybe an extra wide receiver, whoever, okay? Here's my understanding. I think the Colts are either going to draft a quarterback first or second round or in the seventh round, okay? Because I think when you get to the second to the sixth round, this draft is deep. You cannot You got to go get some guys. You got to keep adding superior talent to this team. You have to. All right? You got to add guys. I don't want to draft a quarterback in the fourth round when I know he's probably not going to start. And there was probably a good pass rusher, pass catcher, or corner, or safety on the board. I just don't know. Now, the other question is, who are the quarterbacks that might be available in the middle rounds? You know, Jamie Newman, KJ Costello, Nate Stanley. I hear, you know, some people love Nate Stanley. I wouldn't be, you know, upset if the Colts decided to take Nate Stanley. I do like him. KJ Costello, he's an okay quarterback. I do remember I did my homework on him when I did a preview for Stanford and TCU in the Alamo Bowl a few years ago. And he's a good quarterback. So I do want to, you know what, Jay, I'm with you. I do wonder and really just want to guess who the Colts would probably take if they did take a quarterback in the middle rounds. Next one is Thomas. Do you think the Colts could pick up a quarterback in free agency? Maybe Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins? I do not think we go quarterback in free agency. I just don't. You don't find your long-term franchise quarterbacks in free agency. I just don't believe that's how it's done. Okay? Kirk Cousins was in Washington. Then he leaves, goes to Minnesota. All right. Minnesota is just a great team all around. Okay. They got a great defense. They have strong receivers. They have a strong running game. And then you got a guy like Kirk Cousins. I would not take Kirk Cousins. Okay. Because what's helping him out right now is the same thing that helped out Case Keenum. And look how Case Keenum has performed since then. He has a strong defense, great receivers, great coach, great running game, okay? I thought that Jacoby Brissett could be that when it came to the Colts, but it's just been shown that the Colts have quite a ways to go. Got to add a few more players before they hit that point, okay? Dak Prescott, look, I like Dak Prescott, all right? He's a warrior. He's got dog in him. But I just, would he help us win games better than Jacoby Brissett? You know, at this point, guys, I wouldn't say no to that. You know, would Dak Prescott give us a better chance to win on any given Sunday? Yes, he will. Even though I hate the Cowboys, even though I sometimes make fun of Dak Prescott, let's just say this. If the Colts were, like in some other universe, happened to sign Dak Prescott, I'd be okay. I'd still say, okay, so you're going to draft a quarterback probably in the middle rounds, get a good backup, you know, just to add insurance. So that's my thinking of it, but I just don't think you find your franchise quarterbacks in free agency. If you do, I'm not talking about they're going to be there for 15 years. Okay. If you like Peyton Manning, when he signed, he was only there for 4 years. Now the Broncos are in quarterback purgatory right now. They're in the basement of the NFL. When you find those guys, it's only going to be like 2, 3, 4 years. It's not going to be 10. It's not going to be 15. It's pretty rare if it happens. But when I look at the quarterback class right now, Tom Brady, 42, hell no. Drew Brees, probably going to retire after this season, especially if they win the Super Bowl, no. Jameis Winston, no. Marcus Mariota, no. Pass. Now, the last one from Paulie Sleepers. How much do you think we use Campbell this week now that he is finally healthy? Well, how much do we use Paris Campbell? Man, when I'm looking at the matchups, I think he'll probably see about 7 targets in maybe 2 screens or run plays. You know, jet sweeps, stuff like that. you know, when this Colts team gets it figured out, this is going to be a scary offense because of what, you know, if Zach Pascal can be steady as a number four, potentially grow into a number three, we find that true number one receiver to take over after T.Y. Hilton, this team is going to be scary. All right? This team is going to be scary. You got a guy like Jack Doyle. It's going to be scary. But back to your question, I do think I see about 7 targets for him this week. Because for some reason, man, the Colts are just so precautious when it comes to these injuries. They don't really go after that guy a whole lot. So I think that'll do it. I'm double checking. No, there's nothing else left. So, guys, I believe that will be it. Thank you for tuning in once again, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast on Apple iTunes. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, guys. I'm on everything. And just thank you guys again for tuning in every week. Thank you for following. Follow me on Twitter, speaking of that, at UnderdogSports4. That's the handle, a capital U and a capital S, just in case you were wondering. And let's root for our Colts, man. Let's continue to root for our Colts. Let's see what they can do. And have a safe weekend, guys, and go Colts.